Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Megan, who is joining us to speak about her experience in the Reflective Listening Buddies program. Welcome, Megan.
Hello.
Hey. So we like to regularly feature this program because it's really been incredibly supportive to folks over the, I don't know, it's probably been 10 years or so since we've been doing this program. And so we like to regularly feature it just to introduce folks who may not know about it to it. And so I'm going to get you in a moment to just speak to the program and kind of how it works and all that. But really in specific, I've heard a number of people mention recently how supportive the support calls are that are part of the program. And I think often that piece of it gets overlooked because it's not the main sort of tofu, if you will, of the program, but really a practice opportunity all in itself. So maybe we could start there by you just kind of running us through what the program is and how it works and what your experience of it has been, that sort of thing.
Sure. Great. And I'm so grateful to have the opportunity to speak about the program and to give back to practice, and if you will, in this way, because it is it's been a something that I've gotten to participate in for a while now and over the years, and it's I was reflecting on it and noticing that it's just just like, you know, a lot of the other practice supports we have, it's a way to really deepen and expand the different sort of skills and sort of craft and the way of being able to show up and be present to myself and to the partner that you're working with, and then to Sangha in general, whoever is on the support call that you participate in. So maybe I can first start though, I guess, with just how it runs.
Sure.
So what ends up happening, and this is great too because it was a great reminder to sign up. So you get your email saying thank you for the registration, and then you end up getting the guidelines that you get to go through and look over and read over. They send it in a downloadable file, and if you've got questions, you can let coordinators know, and there's a training call that if you've been part of it before, you don't necessarily have to, but it's always a good thing to sort of brush up on if you'd like. And if you've never done it before, the training call is available so that you get to have a really good understanding of what it is and what the program is about, how it sort of runs, and what you're going to be doing.
And so in other words, if you have no experience with reflective listening at all, not a problem. There's training for it.
None. Absolutely none. And it's really fun because you get to sort of, you get on that call, you get to ask lots of questions if you want. You get to hear people role-playing and seeing how a call might actually work. And to know that whatever you do, it's okay. It's just practice. You're practicing.
Yeah. Yeah, and I love that image you used earlier of it's sharpening your tool, one of your practice tools.
Yeah. We're getting to hone, wherever you are in the practice, whether you're just new, fresh to it, or you've been doing it for a long time, there's always something there, just like the other practice tools. But it's a different one in terms of that really getting to listen to what's showing up, what life is offering through your partner and through you, and then, like I said, on the support calls for the other people that are in the program as well.
So
once you have that training call, then you get to you get set up with your partner, and you are connected, and you can check in with them by email or text, and you're setting up a time once a week where you try to keep the same time and day, and you get in touch with them, and you set it up in the privileged environment with, you know, just the conversation around what days and times you can do. And it's a 30-minute call with 15 minutes on each side, one person reflecting and the other person speaking, and then you change it up. And then you get to do that with each other for, the quarter, which is about 3 months.
Yeah, and then, you know, I've just go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, and then in between that, you know, there are the support calls. And and so you get to, not only do you get to have half an hour each week that you get to show up for yourself and another person and show up to practice and get to take some time for yourself, which is not always available. You know, people don't know that it's available to them, right? It's a really good way to stop and pause. And then you get to have that support call. And there's, you know, I think there's usually two or three of those support calls. And it's a really amazing way to have guidance and have a chance to ask more questions or talk about what's showing up in your practice or what's showing up in your calls.
Mm. And I know I've talked to people who have done the program for years and years, and they hop on those support calls, not even necessarily because they've got something, they have a question they need answered, or they don't understand something, or, I mean, all of those certainly are fair game for the support calls, but just because they enjoy that, the actual practice opportunity of the support call.
Yeah, that's actually something I've noticed over time, too, that most of the time, and this isn't, you know, not to say that you can't ask questions, but most of the time it isn't even about the questions that people have. It's a wonderful, like, people are really excited, or I'll speak from my experience. It's really a fun way to just talk about practice. What's showing up? What's showing up for me in my practice? What I'm experiencing? And it's a direct way of getting right back into if, you know, I've been if I've been unconscious or something like that. But and even if I haven't, of just continuing the lit upness of practice or getting to come back to this here now, instant portal for that, and being around all these folks that are doing the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you make an excellent point, which is that often we think to reach for practice when I'm really in trouble and, you know, the voices are on me and things aren't. But that what we want to do, of course, is reach for it all the time, certainly in the places where we really need the support, but all the time, you know, even when, quote, it's going really well, because, of course, that is the fuel, that support of Sangha is the fuel that keeps us here now, and that's what keeps it all working.
Absolutely, and I guess that's what's so nice, too, is, like, you know, it's one of those things I think we've been sort of pointing towards and going towards with the upping the game and now, you know, moving into the you know, the idea of training for this here now, to stay in this here now. And it seems to me, you know, to have as many practice support opportunities available to us throughout, you know, the day, the week, the month, and the support calls is, you know, within the Reflective Listening Buddies program is just another wonderful way to have that be at our fingertips, at our recorder, you know, at our although, you know, it's another wonderful way to sort of be able to say, oh yeah, this is, I've got this and this and this and this all set up to really support this being to wake up, to end suffering, and to be able to give back then to practice too, to everybody that's showing up.
Yep, which is the point that you started us out with, is that so you being on the Good News Update, any of us calling into the radio show, responding to the email class, you know, any of those things, it is this form of giving back. And it's one of those, you know, we had a bumper sticker for a while, but a saying we use in practice all the time, the more you give, the more you get. And I often get that funny image of, like, you know, you're so grateful that then you write into the email class because you want to, you know, talk about, and then you get this amazing response back and you get everyone else's response back and then you feel even more full. And it's like the more you give, the farther behind in giving back you get.
Right. The more indebted, right? And the more you want to keep giving, you know.
Exactly.
It's a wonderful circle. And I have much with the other things that we get to participate in for practice, my experience has been, I've always, well, let me actually, I've noticed actually over time, it's now become I'm always so lit up when I get off those support calls, when I get off the reflective listening and just feeling really so full of life. I think at the very beginning when I first started reflective listening, there was a lot more moments of being identified with conditioning, which is what happens often when you're first in practice. And, you know, it still shows up a lot as you go on. But but now it's like, woo, I get to be on the call. I get to go out on the support calls. I get to do all these things that are so, they just feed life, you know, and if you stick with it and, you know, you keep showing up, you get to feel like that all the time. Yeah. And I'm really seeing that. And that, I remember sort of watching that sort of happen over time with reflective listening buddies, and that it's a really nice little barometer, you know?
Yeah. You just laid that out really beautifully. Yeah. Yeah. So the next quarter, I believe, begins the middle of January, and I think the sign-up deadline is January 1st, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, I believe that is true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for people who are considering that, to jump in before then, and then, as you say, after that, there's a schedule of training calls and getting all set up with your buddy, and off you go. And I imagine, you know, again, actually, we're on the hour here, but that practice of reflective listening really carries forward in throughout your life, you know, as you, I think you alluded to using it in other areas, you know, with other people in your life and that sort of thing. And that's a really, really powerful way to stay disidentified, to stay here, even when we're in relationship with folks in our lives.
Yes, it is. It's something that that you get to keep practicing and getting, you know, better and better at, and really being able to know when, because, you know, sometimes some people are not as excited about it, and that's okay too, you know, because you get to sort of discern who it might work with and who it might not, but you get to keep practicing it for you to stay, or I would say for me, to stay disidentified. You know, it's a fantastic tool for that, as you were saying, and I'm really grateful that there's that program to be able to practice that, because there isn't a whole lot of places in the world for us to really practice true deep listening to ourselves and others. And so, I'm recognizing that we're at the end of the hour, but I'm in so much gratitude for that. So it's a fantastic program and way to be here and to practice that that listening, that you know, connection.
Yeah. Yeah, really well put. Well, Megan, thank you very much for being with us this afternoon to speak about the program.
Thank you so much for having me, and have a great show.
Thank you. Take care.
Okay, you too. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Megan. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I was projecting a lot of lit up in that conversation, Sherry.
Uh-huh. It's another one of those, just got to nail those little shoes down to the floor, and then you think, oh, well, why, really? Why? Yeah. It's so great to hear. Because it's true, isn't it? I mean, I'm listening to that guy. I project you're listening to that conversation the same way. You know, just getting... The grin is just getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's not because actually of what they're talking about, because they're talking about a program, but the amount of enthusiasm and excitement and appreciation and presence that's there, and we just go right along with them.
That's good. That's the thing with Sangha, is we get carried along. At least that's my experience.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the work that everyone is doing.
Yes, well, we get carried along and we carry along, right? So it's a...
Yes.
You can't tell who's in ahead and who's behind and who's, you know, it's just we're all... Yeah. Yeah. That's good.
That's wonderful. And how are you?
I'm great. You?
I'm great. Great.
We're getting ready for another storm, you know, so...
I heard that.
Life is very, very good. We're going to get more rain.
Yes, we
hate to be obsessive about the weather. People comment on that, you know. I never thought about it, but it's true. I recognize I'm a bit obsessive about nature, but I figure there are worse things to be obsessive about.
Yes, Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have some announcements here, unless there's anything else you'd like to explore first.
No. I'd love to hear the announcements, because they're moving along, aren't they? We've gotten past that. The only thing left to say is the New Year's retreat is full. Now we're moving into what's beyond that.
Yes, actually, both of these announcements are for next year.
Yeah.
And as we just heard from Megan and Jen, Reflective Listening Buddies is a great support for practice. Connect in the privileged environment to explore what's most important in your practice by signing up now for the 3-month session that begins in January.
Mm-hmm.
And you can register at schedule.livingcompassion.org.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll kick off the new year and the new practice theme with a video workshop on January 18th. It's free and open to all, but we do ask you to register by visiting livingcompassion.org/this-here-now. Again, that's livingcompassion.org/this-here-now with no spaces, no dashes.
Yeah, and Michael, my understanding is we ask people to do that because we have to pay based on how many people are going to participate. So we would hope that people would sign up and that they would show up because otherwise, either we've turned people away because all of the slots we have available are full, we're paying for a lot of people who aren't there. So we would hope that people would be sensitive to that.
Yes. Great. And visit schedule.livingcompassion.org for more information on these and all our events.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of reminders to make a show to indicate your desire to talk with Sherry today. Press *6 and then 1. And a reminder to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. And let's get started.
All right, here we go.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Anna calling.
What was your name again, please?
Hold on, I heard an echo. Anna. Anna from
Anna.
Seattle.
Oh, yeah. Hi. Hi. Yes, okay, I've got you now. How are you?
Hi, I'm okay. I'm fine, kind of having a little hard time, so I'm calling.
Okay, tell us about that.
Yes. Well, I'm so lucky to get on right away. I'm now trying for the first time in quite a long time, and I get on right away. Really lucky. So I'm just dealing with a lot of fear right now, and I'm in another break, my relationship with my boyfriend is ending, so I'm in another breakup. Like 2 years, I separated from my husband, and then right away I went into a new relationship, and that one's ending now. So I have a lot of fear about that separation, and so I'm practicing with that just to support myself.
What's the fear of? What are the stories?
That I'm not really capable of living on my own and like being emotionally and financially independent, and which is kind of true right now. Right now, I lost a job, and so I am financially independent right now. And before I move out of our apartment, I have a trip to Germany planned to visit my family. And
mm-hmm.
So I won't be able in 2 weeks. I'll be going, so I won't be able to find a new job before I'm going, and I have to go to Germany because I haven't seen my family in a long time, and my dad is doing chemotherapy right now and so on. And
so there's a lot of anxiety about with leaving with everything so up in the air.
Yeah, and also fear of the trip to Germany because my relationship with my mom isn't that good. She kind of, I mean, she isn't very supportive. She's like more the opposite. And then I'll be, so it's always hard for me anyways to go to Germany to visit my family because of the whole dynamics. And I fall into a really weird place again, like how I was when I was growing up.
Yes.
Depressed and
yes, that, and that is what we do, right? We go back, and no matter how old we are, we tend to just become children again and start playing out the dynamics that existed when we were little kids, right? It's kind of to be expected, right?
Yeah. It's just much better when I have a life set up here, and I know I come back to that. But now, I don't really know where I'm. I mean, I'll have to find an apartment, a job when I come back, and all these things.
Yeah.
And
so
let me
ask you this. Do you have a recording and listening practice?
Yeah, it's getting more and more.
Good. Good. You're talking this out regularly? Talking to the mentor about
those kinds of, I'm right now mostly doing affirmations and doing the writing exercise with the mentor. Somehow I don't do the talking into the recorder as with what's going on right now as much.
I'm going to encourage you to do it, okay? Do you feel like you're a compassionate, sympathetic person?
I think, but then I don't know. I feel like my grandma and my mom are kind of narcissistic, and now I'm scared. I'm also. So I don't know.
Well,
yeah, I mean,
if you're afraid you're narcissistic, I think that's a fairly good sign. If you were really narcissistic, you probably wouldn't be afraid of being narcissistic. I don't know that, but just intuitively, that seems right. So here's the exercise that I'm going to ask you to do, okay? Because this is what has the biggest chance of working, all right?
Okay.
You put that recorder. You probably heard it, but I'm going to talk you through it anyway, okay? You put that recorder in your right hand. And you press record, and you let her talk about her fears. Okay, I'm afraid. I'm afraid that I'm not really up to living on my own. I don't know that I can make it financially. Now I don't have a place to live. I'm afraid of going back to Germany. I'm afraid of my relationship with my mother. I'm afraid. Let her talk. Let her say whatever is going on for her. Now, this isn't any criticism or self-hate, okay? If any of that starts coming in, you just turn it off. This is really her talking about her life and all that she's afraid of right now. Then when she finishes talking, you turn off the recorder, and you put it in your other hand, and, you sit there for a minute, and then turn it on and listen to what she has to say. Really listen to her. Talk about her level of fear and everything that's going on with her, okay? And then when that's over, you turn it off. You sit there for a minute, and you let it begin to arise in you what you would wish for her, what you would like her to know, how you would, if she were your sister, your best friend, your whomever, and she's feeling all of that fear and anxiety and dread, what would you want her to know? What would you want to... And then you turn that recorder on and you tell her all of the things that you would wish for her, that you're willing to do for her, perhaps that you will be there for her, whatever it is that you would want her to know, you record that, okay? And then that's the recording that you listen to
all the time. Not the first one, not her talking, but the one of you letting her know what you wish for her and what you're willing to do for her and how you're willing to be there for her and all of those kinds of messages. And then when more of those messages occur to you, record those, add to the recordings until she's able to live in that conversation instead of the awful conversation of everything that's wrong, everything that's been wrong, everything that's going to be wrong, and how awful it's all going to be. Okay? We've got to shut that conversation down and get her living in a conversation of reassurance and comfort and compassion and kindness.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
Will you do that tonight?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. And then I emailed the monastery also. I haven't gotten any email back yet. So just about like visiting the monastery sometime, is that still a possibility or ever a possibility?
When did you email?
Maybe 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
So it's not,
I think you'll hear back. I'm sure you'll hear back before long.
Yes, I'm sure
you will. Things down there are a little slower than usual right now because Ashwini is in India and for a couple of weeks, and that takes a long time to get things back and forth from there, but I'm sure they'll be getting back to you.
Okay, perfect.
All right.
Okay.
Well, Take care of yourself.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, do that exercise tonight, okay?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I will. Okay.
All right, good.
Thanks.
All right,
bye.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye.
Thanks for joining us, Anna. You're listening to Open Air. And we have another call here, Sherry.
All right, good. Thank you.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, hello, hello. My name is Nathan, and I'm calling you from Scotland.
Nathan from Scotland. Well, my goodness, how are you?
I am doing pretty good. You know, it's the cup half full, cup half empty. I've really been inspired by your books, and it's funny, I've been doing a recording and listening stuff before I ever heard you suggest it. I kind of came up with it on my own.
Wow.
But, wow.
it was out there in whole mind, I guess, huh?
Yeah, well, I've gotten some new ideas from, I just made it onto your website recently and got more into the affirmation stuff. But I think I'd like to talk to you tonight about some serious, deep procrastination. I'm 9 years into a 3 or 4 year PhD, and it's past due. I've got a lot of fear about that. It's an amazing PhD that brings together sociology and the environment. It's how we as people develop our knowledge in order to. Wow, I'm about to tear up here. I did not expect that. But it's about how we use science to manage our environment, and the truth is we're not doing it very well. And it's we have all of these scientists out there doing this great work, and government employees trying to pull it together. I kind of look at them as dedicated like teachers are, right? But then the politics of the institutions work so that the science is corrupted to some degree, not completely, and things aren't being taken care of, and there's a lot of slippage. And then here I am procrastinating on my work, and it's partly because I've been not good at terminating in my homework a long time. It's partly because I'm afraid of getting people in trouble. And it's there's a lot of fears, and it's a lot of mixed up. And there's big dog that's like, whoa, 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 get your work done. And there's little dog that's like, I'm traumatized by all this stuff. And, you know, yesterday I sat and meditated finally for an hour and kind of got some clarity. And then I only worked an hour today, and then I'm like, oh, gotta beat him up again. And I spend a couple hours on the internet reading about star formation and really silly stuff, like glow-in-the-dark scorpions, and I don't know why, but it's kind of some avoidance. Or so what do you got for me?
Okay, so... So if we just jump right in here, if you get that project done, then your life will work, right? The stories will end. There won't be the drama, the will he or won't he. There won't be the beatings, any need for the beatings. You'll just get it done. You'll turn it in. That'll be that. And there's no... There's no more soap opera. Yeah?
I'm sure there'll be soap opera.
Well, not about this.
Not about this. No, it would be, it sure would be nice.
Ego would have to come up with a whole new bunch of stuff to run its deal on. And in that, you would get to see it. Right? Because you're paying attention to it. Now you don't really get to see it because you're right in the middle of it and you're believing it and you're caught in it and that sort of thing. So there's not a lot of mystery about what's going on. Right? I mean,
right.
ego identity is, that's how it keeps control of your life. And all the big dog, little dog, and all of the distraction and the procrastination, you know, that's ego identity keeping control of your life. And when we know that, then we have a possibility of a different relationship with it, right? Because, you know, what egos like to do, and this is what happens to people when they're identified with ego, it becomes this giant thing that is bigger than you are. Right, and you're kind of a little victim.
Sure.
Kind of a little.
Sure.
A little victim in the midst of this great giant swirling mass of overwhelming ego. But the reality is, that's not true. You have absolute choice about your life. You're a grown up. You can be in charge of it if you want to. You can make the decisions that work for your life, but you have to want to do it. You have to choose it. And what happens when we choose it, of course, is we don't get to be a victim to ego any longer. Yeah?
I struggle because there's like, you know, there's self-help communities where it's like the mantra is, you know, stop being a victim, but admit that you're powerless. And
well, I didn't say that.
No, that's not you. That's like my support group, right? You know.
Yeah.
And I really appreciated what I heard at the beginning of your show a few weeks ago when I first started tuning in about how at your monastery you're directing traffic. Coordinating things so that people are directing their own programs or their own practice, that it's the internal teacher, and it is this idea of growing up. Almost nobody wants to grow up, you said in your book, but, you know, we do have that choice. So that's something I really appreciate about your philosophy and your teaching.
Yeah. And we have to choose it, right? And it's a process. The decision to choose it for most of us comes pretty quickly and easily. You know, we get to that moment of I don't want to do this any longer. I don't want to be like this any longer. And then of course ego doesn't just roll over and say, okay, well then I'll just go off and die and you can have your life. It's going to be a struggle.
But what we have to do is commit to keeping up our end of the I want to wake up in suffering, and not
sure,
to indulge,
sure,
not to indulge the very simple kinds of things that we do every day. You know, if ego came up with a different distraction every day, it would be pretty hard to keep up with. We could really sympathize with the person for losing track and getting confused and overwhelmed and that sort of thing. But the system is doing exactly the same thing to each person. So it's doing what it's doing to you specifically. And it's been doing that for a really long time. And the reason that it continues to do it is it works really well. So it's going to be up to you to say, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to open up that computer and start dinking around with star formations or whatever it is. I'm not going to do that. I am not going to do that. And then that's where the battle lines are drawn.
Yeah. You said in your book that every drinker has to, like, at some point sit across the table from the bottle, and it's kind of high noon.
Yep, exactly. And of course, the thing that we have going for us, should we choose to do it, is that we don't have to take on everything. So you mentioned that one of dinking around on the computer and being lost on the internet. So there, you win that one. And you've proved that you're in charge of your life, you're the boss, you make the decisions. We don't have to do it with every issue in our lives. We have to do it with one issue, one place where we fall victim to that sort of thing. We draw the line there, and we prove to ourselves that we can be trusted, that we'll come through for ourselves, that we do actually want to do this, and that we can. And then the whole game changes.
All right. Thanks very
you
much
can do
for
it.
That.
You can do it.
Okay.
Yeah. And
for taking my question.
You know, Nathan, one of the things that you might consider is the awareness coaching that we offer. You know, where you're working with one person specifically who is assisting you in accountability to do this thing, because it is hard to do it when we're out there on our own, and especially if we have a support community that is giving us messages that we don't agree with. We want to find somebody to support us with whom we can agree, because otherwise, you know, that's an ego dream come true. I disagree with my support system.
Right. So, yeah, no
just
doubt.
Just a thought.
Okay. Thanks, Sherry. Appreciate it.
Stay in touch. Okay. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Nathan, all the way from Scotland. And Sherry, we're going to break now and hear from our coaches program, and then we'll be right back.
Well, isn't that perfect? Hopefully,
yes.
Nathan will stay up for that.
Yes, right on schedule. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
The practice theme for this year is upping your game. We are all spiritual athletes in the game of life, and we can train to participate joyfully in the spirit of play. Yes, we are up against a worthy opponent, egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate. But we can up our chances of success by getting a personal trainer, a Zen awareness coach. The awareness coaches are guided by Sherry Huber to offer individual coaching around any number of life issues or awareness practice in general. Coaching places a special emphasis on recording and listening. We hear from folks new to practice and from old timers that awareness coaching provides the extra support their heart desires. Since coaches donate a percentage of their fees to practice, getting a coach assists us to support ourselves while supporting practice. To request a Zen Awareness Coach, visit sanghamarket.com, go to the services section, click on the little monk, and then follow the directions. We hope to hear from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have another caller here, Sherry.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Barbara here from Australia.
Oh, how are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right. Surprised to get on. I feel a bit nervous.
Before you think of what you want to say, thank you for the cards.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad that you got them.
They're beautiful. I love them. They're beautiful. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. Most welcome.
All right, what's going on?
It was my great pleasure to send them. Look, first I just wanted to say thank you for the email class. And I got, in particular in the responses, in the class 8 responses, I just got some really great tips. And I just wanted to mention one of them. You mentioned in one of your responses the Karen Drucker song, My Religion is Kindness.
Yes. And did you get it?
I went and got it. And I had this idea in my mind of what it was going to sound like, a sort of New Agey sort of song. And when it started Arts playing, it was just like, oh, my God, I can't not dance to this song.
Exactly. Oh, I'm so glad.
Yeah,
I was just talking to Karen the other day, and I got off the phone before I told her that I had mentioned that in the class, and that I really hoped people would be getting to her and getting that song, because isn't it just, I mean, you just can't listen to that song and not feel good.
You absolutely can't. And it stays in my mind. Like, it just, I'm singing it in my head all the time. And you can't, I can't, I play it in the morning and you can't, I just dance, you know, you just, it really made me appreciate why people who had, you know, whose religions involved gospel singing wanted to go to church. I mean,
yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I love gospel music too, for exactly that reason.
So thank you for that. And, you know, I've downloaded another one of hers too, and it's a. I think there's a bit of a treasure trove there to explore.
Say that part again.
I can see I downloaded another one of her songs too, and I can see there's a bit of a future treasure trove.
Oh yeah. Oh my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. And you know the other one, I don't know, for people who haven't heard us talk about this for a while. There's a gal named Trish Bruxford Culligan. One of the ads on Open Air is one of her songs. And she did a CD called Splash that has some of the most moving music and a couple of rock out ones too, but mostly just super heart opening. And Karen has that range as well. So, yeah. It's a treasure trove.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think what I wanted to talk about was sort of outing a process that I've been seeing happening for a while, and I sort of feel like I'm starting to come out of a fog, you know, and things are looking clearer. I'm having it's like a lot of awareness is dropping in, a lot of seeing, understanding projection on a whole nother level, owning my projections more and more, like a lot of that happening, which I know is great. And what I also see happening is that conditioning has kind of got hold of it and is using it to make me feel even worse about things that happened in the past and ways that I was, decisions that I made, you know, because I have more clarity and I have more insight and I have more capacity to disidentify. I've been practicing really hard, so yeah, and I, you know, in my head, I sort of know that that's what's happening, but it's still happening.
Uh-huh. So two things about it. One, the first one is, you know, grace often goes hand in hand with hard work, right? So I'm glad that you acknowledge the fact that you've been practicing really hard, because practicing really hard often precedes grace.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, we're conditioned to want to give something like that away. Well, you know, it's just grace. It just dropped in that, yeah, and coincidentally, I've just been practicing like mad for months and years now, and then suddenly grace drops in. And we, you know, we don't want to not acknowledge the, you know, the gift that it is, that to drop into that level of awareness and that sort of thing. And we also don't want to discount the effort that the human being has made to position, in this case, herself there to receive that grace. Right? So grace is there all the time, but we have to do a lot of work to get to the place where we can receive it. I think that's what I'm trying to say. Okay, so that's one of them. And then the second one is that I'm hoping you really do start doing a lot of recording and listening on the subject of the past, and to give lots of messages that, if I had known then what I know now, I probably would have done some things differently. However, I didn't. And what is the point anyway? It's over. It's done. If you can come up with a way for me to go back there and make a different decision, then we can talk. But otherwise, we really have nothing to talk about. And to just move into a place of insisting that no, I am not entertaining that conversation. That's all there is to it. No, nothing about the past. Nope. Absolutely not. And then the other piece of that to me is important to get right up in the front of the conscious awareness is every step I've taken, it took me to get to where I am now, and I'm so grateful to be where I am now. I wouldn't have risked taking any false step, because if I had done anything differently in the past, I wouldn't be here now, and this is exactly where I want to be.
I have started doing those exactly those kind of recordings, and I guess, but I'm not listening to them all the time. So that's the bit that's missing. Like, I'm doing the recordings and I'll listen back once, and then, you know, I go on, do something.
Yeah, you've got to get it in the over and over category. Right?
Yeah.
You're just listening to it constantly so that it begins to have the same kind of place in your mind that My Religion Is Kindness has, right? You're just going around, and it's just coming up into your mind that this, you know, we want to focus on now. There's no such thing as the past. It's imaginary. It's an illusion. We don't even know what happened. There's no sense in talking about it. It's irrelevant. We want to be here. And that's the conversation that you're in 24 hours a day. Put it on at night. You know, just listen to it all night long.
Okay.
Yeah, so that there can be no room for it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the recording I did last night. It was really like, no, you know, this has to stop. This is, you know, this has to stop now.
Yeah.
There is no way that path is not suffering. You know, there's just no way that it's not.
Right, And we're not here to suffer.
I know that. It's really big. It feels really, really the peace.
If we think about it, again, it's you know what I was saying to Nathan. If egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate loses the ability to punish and torture people over the past, that's a big loss. Right? Because if we consider how much time people spend referencing the past, getting their knowledge from the past, what they learned from past mistakes, right? So it's constantly, the attention is constantly there. If that stops, what if we say it's a third, right? The past, the present, and the future. Okay, so you just took off one third of ego's ability to control you. Now, it's much easier to get that we don't know what the future is. That's
yeah.
actually a much easier thing to accomplish than trying to let go of what ego does to us over the past. So then,
yeah.
okay, well, I don't know. So there's really no sense in talking about it or thinking about it because I don't know what's going on. Okay, there goes the other third. And it can't exist in the present, right? So we have 100% no more of those voices controlling us.
Yeah. Yeah. I was rereading I don't feel like it recently, and
uh-huh.
I came to that page that says, but I will never have what I want until I realize how conditioning creates a reality in which I say I want one thing and somehow end up choosing the other. And it was like I'd been hit by something. It was
wow.
just this moment of like, oh my God, you know, just
mm-hmm.
sort of seeing things so clearly and
yes.
letting it all go.
That's right. Because what conditioning would want to do is then run your whole life past every time you said you wanted something and then chose something different, right? It's going to
yeah.
want to run you through every single one of those events and make you feel as bad as possible over every one of them. But
yeah.
instead, what happened is, wow, all the lights came on. I see how that process works. Wow.
Mm.
How is it working right now in this moment? How can I keep that in conscious awareness so that I don't do that going forward, so that I'm doing that right now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mhm. That's so good, isn't it?
It is. I mean, it is. You know, it's only been relatively recently that I've really started to, as I said, kind of come out of something that's felt like a great big fog and
mm-hmm.
And be in a place where I can sort of say and kind of believe that everything that led me to this place was exactly how it had to be, because
mm-hmm.
I've just learned so much, and I don't...
Mm-hmm.
know that I would have. I think this had to happen to me. I think I
absolutely
had to have
yep,
my retreat. And
mm-hmm. yeah, because all
so
those
much,
choices. That you, go, say it again.
Oh, I was just saying thanks so much.
Oh, you're welcome. But it, just to take it to that one specific that you're, you know, all of those ways that you got bamboozled in the past. You know, you want something. And then karmic conditioning, ego conditioned mind just, you know, shifts things around and talks you into, and then you wind up in a place of karma instead of the place of clarity that you were hoping to choose. But you had to be bamboozled in that way over and over and over and over again until you saw all of the ways that happened. And in seeing all of the ways that happens, you're ready to read something like you read and have it make perfect sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because I think that, you know, I think I, anyway, yeah, it's true. I it was probably the biggest bamboozle that I've ever lived through, and
mm-hmm.
it's probably the biggest kind of learning opportunity, spiritual opportunity that I've ever had.
Yep.
And
yep.
I'm just
they go together, don't they? They're one and the same.
I guess so. About a year ago, I don't know whether I would have framed it like that, but yeah, they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, thank you so much. Thank you,
oh,
Michael.
Thank you.
Open Air, as I said, still every day I listen to the archives and constant companion.
We're with you every day.
Great.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Barbara. You're listening to Open Air. We're going all over the world tonight, Sherry. This is fun.
We are. This is very good.
Yes. And we have another caller here.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
Oh, yes. Hi. This is Sung Ho calling.
Well, hello. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. What's going on?
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'm still on. Good. I can't believe I got on. This is my first time calling into the radio show.
Yes. Well, welcome. Don't make it your last, okay?
Yeah. I've really enjoyed listening to the callers so far, so I'm excited. I almost didn't call because I got stage fright, but I did anyways.
You did anyway, and here you are.
Yeah.
So what's going on in practice?
Lots of good things. I'm really enjoying the awareness coaching that I'm doing.
Oh, good.
It's been, and I have to say, like, I began working through my meditation practice back in June when I attended my first retreat with Living Compassion. And then right after the retreat, I decided I was going to work with an awareness coach and did another retreat after that. And it's probably been less than 6 months, but so much transformation has happened.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah, and it just took such a short time. I can't even believe how much my life has changed.
Yes. You know, it depends on what we want, doesn't it? So if you're going to, you want to speak Italian and you want to be fluent for when you go spend that year in Italy, then what you do is spend a lot of hours out of every day speaking, learning, reading, listening to Italian, right? You can't just listen for a few minutes when you're driving to the grocery store and hope to be fluent by the time you get there. Right, that's just a setup for disappointment. Yeah. So when you want something, and you go after it like that, it happens quickly. Even awareness practice.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely am really happy that I chose to do this. And one of my clients the other day was asking me how I got my splits, and I was like, I was telling him like all these stretches, how he could do it, and at the end of the talk, what he said, it's like that really resonated with me was, oh, yeah, so I guess, you know, there's no magic. It just takes practice.
That's right. And we
could
almost say, the practice is the magic, right? It's magic that there is something that we can do, that we can practice in order to have this kind of transformation, right? Yeah.
Yes, definitely. And, I mean, to share, like, so I have had so many victories, but to share maybe one or two is I have so much more strength, inner strength that I've ever felt in my life. And before, like when ego spoke to me, it was more, you know, a feeling of like I couldn't get out of that or feeling helpless. But now, like every time it speaks to me, I just have now have like a habit of just turning towards practice. And instead of turning to other people to help me stand up or carry on, I now turn towards practice, and that always brings me to the place that I want to be.
Yes. Because it's not that there's a problem with turning toward other people, but there's a way in which turning toward other people reinforces inadequacy.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, definitely.
But
yeah.
when you turn to practice, what you're acknowledging is the authentic being that is completely adequate, absolutely equal to life, and that in fact is what you are, instead of that voice of ego that's talking to you, telling you nonsense. So it's a dramatic difference.
Yes. Yeah. So much different. A lot of my relationships, I came to the monastery because I felt like I was struggling in so many of my relationships with people, and I have to say, like, my relationships are just so, like, even the way I think about relationships is completely different. And I kind of had, like, a little breakthrough yesterday where I was in a relationship with this person whom has been my boyfriend for about, like, 2 or 3 years. But I knew at the end of, like, 2 years or so that I wasn't really invested in the relationship, and I think I wanted something else, which, you know, at the end of the day, it was just to be connected with myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I had, in those 2 years, like, there were parts that were really amazing, but there were also, like, so much of the relationship was spent for me in fear. And, like, yeah. when is he going to leave me, or is he going to cheat on me, but the weird thing about it is that while all that conversation was going on, none of it was justified because the person that had actually given me a lot of security, but because I didn't have security in myself, like, it was impossible to believe that in a way.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and it just, it took a while for me to really, and it didn't just take the knowing of understanding, because I always intellectually understood that that's what it took, but until I started practicing, like, that didn't sink in.
That's right.
And change.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
We can know things intellectually, but it's getting it into the marrow of the bones that makes it ours.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's literally like talking about swimming versus actually swimming.
Yes.
Yes. Uh-huh. So,
yeah. And when you're drowning, that theoretical understanding of swimming is just not going to do the trick.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And for years, I feel like we both tried to, like, hold on to the relationship, and there was a lot of, like, trying to make it work and trying to get the magic back. And there was also, like, a lot of guilt on my part, or guilt on the ego's part, that was, you know, shaming me about, oh, well, I already moved on in a way with, you know, had built other relationships, and but this person claimed to still want to be with me, and I wasn't making a good job, and, you know, hooking up sort of ideals about, like, I should have, you know, returned the love, or got married, or something like that. But and I had always dreaded, like, the breakup conversation, but it took a while, but it took, like, almost a year for us to both admit that this relationship had been over for a while, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
But what was interesting about it was that it was actually the opposite of what I thought, which was, because my partner had said, oh, yeah, I guess it's over, and there's no more love left. But actually, in allowing for this person to let go, and for allowing myself to choose myself and not choosing to spend time with this person because I feel guilty or anything like that, I actually was turning towards love for this person again.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
And
so.
It wasn't like I'm done with you, and therefore there's no more left. I mean, it didn't mean that I was going to keep on having a relationship with the person in a romantic way, but really it was like in letting him go and in loving, in choosing a support process that supported me and him. It was so crazy. Like, I was like, oh, I'm actually loving him more now, and therefore giving that love back to myself.
Yes, and you know, it is such a shame to me that more people can't get there. You know, people are in a relationship, then their feelings change, and who knows why their feelings change, right? Because it can be anything. It, usually ego deciding it's time for some new kind of suffering. And if people didn't get urgent and didn't fall for the drama of those voices, if they just, you know, came at this from, all right, the feelings are not the same as they were, but that doesn't, that all that means is the feelings are not the same as they were. So can we choose something here that we might have thought we had before, but probably didn't, which is unconditional love.
Yes, yes. Yeah. That's precisely what I felt was and it was just so the opposite of what I've been taught for, you know, relationship was, you know, if I was going to have that in my life and I was going to make this relationship work with this one person and had to fix and change things in order to make it stick. And therefore being breaking up with somebody and leaving this relationship would be a failure of that, and therefore I would never be able to receive that. But that was just so
quite
the opposite. And it was kind of like ego keeping me trapped, both of us trapped in a way, of like people being afraid of breaking up.
Because there has to be something wrong with somebody, right? So if you're going to leave the relationship, you have to make all these cases about him. You have to find all the things that are wrong with him and justify the fact that you don't want to be in this relationship because he's this, and this. He has to do the same, right? So everybody has to get to a place of, I don't like you, I don't want to be around you, in order to leave. Because it is completely unacceptable to say, spiritually it's wonderfully acceptable, but socially, you know, in social conditioning, you know, you're a wonderful person, I actually love you, I just don't want to be in that kind of relationship with you. Everybody leaves feeling good about themselves, which is how they should feel, we failed. Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, my partner said, well, I guess I don't really love you anymore. And what I said back to him was like, well, actually, for me, it's the contrary. Like, I feel like I'm loving you more. And he had commented that he actually doesn't know what else to say in a breakup. So it's like so many of us go through breakups like that where we are like, oh, I guess there's no more love left. And that's what we believe and end the relationship and go find somebody else. But it was just so untrue.
Yeah. Well, and of course, again, with social conditioning, egocentric karmic conditioning, you know, behind the whole thing, what passes for love is actually, I'm wildly infatuated with you. I'm filled with lust. I want to consume you, and that's love. And when I've consumed you, when that overwhelming desire to possess passes, well, then I must not love you anymore. And it never did have anything to do with love.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I've always wanted a Lamborghini. And then, you know, I get it, and I want to sleep in the damn thing, right? And then after a while, it's just a car, and I have to go find something else that's going to make me feel the way I felt when I was passionately fixated on that car. But if we approach that from a, I've got to feed this with content after content after content, we are bound to suffer. If we realize that passion and excitement and enthusiasm is ours, it's what we are, we can have it all the time, and we can share our lives with anybody we choose, no suffering.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and to have like a happy ending to that story. When he said that to me, and we had both admitted that, like my first impulse, which had kind of been sort of a habit in that relationship, was like to say kind of hurtful things back, like, oh well, whatever. Like I already have, you know, that's fine because I already love somebody else or something like that. But what I said instead was what I mentioned earlier, that I actually love you more because of this. And that actually like almost moved him to tears. We had decided at the end that we were going to kind of begin a new relationship. And I don't know if you've ever like watched Seinfeld, but it was like Jerry and Elaine, kind of like just friends, but not, you know, not romantic partners, but that we can start something that is new and not have to feel bad about it and like, you know, that's the end and there's shame about it. So
you can really honor one another as people
yeah,
that you
exactly.
legitimately like and respect and admire and want to spend part of your life with.
Yeah, that I was still going to be part of each other's lives and share this unconditional love, despite despite not looking the way that we thought it should have been for a while.
Right.
And
right.
Yeah. And so, I mean, just that's just one of the many victories I feel like I've had, and I have to, give credit to the awareness coaching and the retreats and
And the work that
really
you're doing.
Really just has changed my life. Yeah, yeah.
Right. yeah, exactly.
And recording
and
listening.
And it just gets better and better, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. And I when I was at the monastery, there was a feeling of like, oh, I can't maintain this kind of joy. But I actually, in having awareness coaching in my life and doing all these practices, like I actually get to live that kind of joy every day.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I just so wish it for everybody.
Mhm. It is. Yeah. It really is just within you.
Mhm. Yeah.
So. Yeah,
well,
so
that makes me very happy to hear.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so happy I got on. It's so exciting.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, let's do it again then.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Bye, Sherry.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Sung Ho. And it sounds like it's all within us, Sherry.
It does, doesn't it? Boy, and we just tap into it, and there it is. And it doesn't want to stay hidden in there, does it? We give it a little bit of attention,
definitely.
And it just poops up. And sooner or later, by golly, it takes over our whole life, and we just walk around and grin and a couple of feet off of the ground and wanting everybody in the world to have the same lovely life process.
Yes, all of us lit up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Sherry. It's a pleasure.
Talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week. Good night.
Okay, good night.